Our first lesson is from Acts 10, 44 through 48. The text I'm about to read is the telling of what many call the Gentile Pentecost. We are only reading the tail end of the story. The story begins when Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman soldier, has a vision to invite a man named Peter to come to his house. So he sends three men to go fetch Peter. Peter is staying in a nearby town. Meanwhile, Peter is also having a vision. He sees a blanket with all kinds of non-kosher food on it, and then being told to take and eat. Peter says he's never eaten any food that is profane or unclean. He certainly isn't ready to do so now. The Spirit tells him not to call what God has made clean. You are not to call profane. Three times he has this strange vision. Then comes the knock on the door, and the three men sent by Cornelius have arrived. Peter is instructed by the Spirit to go with them. He goes and then preaches to Cornelius and those that Cornelius has invited over. While Peter is preaching, we come to the text we are reading today. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, God's Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson is the continuation from last week's reading, where Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," and that we are to abide in the vine, and that God is the vine dresser who prunes the branches so that they might produce more fruit. And so we pick up on that today as Jesus continues to speak. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. In our world today, there are many boundaries and barriers. Some good, some bad. We have barriers or boundaries like fences that maybe keep people out or maybe keep people in. We have no trespassing signs to let strangers know that they're not welcome there. Like I said, some are good. The lines that divide the roads that keep cars on the right side of the street so they're not accidents, those are good boundaries. There are boundaries on sports fields, football and baseball and basketball, that let you know what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. But then there are these other boundaries, some like the railroad track that goes down in a community, dividing the community, and there are those that live on the right side of the tracks and those that live on the wrong side of the tracks. There are natural boundaries, mountains and valleys and rivers and oceans, that divide people. There are visible and invisible boundaries. It's often the invisible ones that hurt the most. When we divide ourselves according to skin color or nationality or religion or age or gender or sexual preference, all kinds of barriers that we put up to keep people away. There are the gated communities created especially to keep people out. All these different boundaries. And it's not anything that's new. It's from the very beginning of humanity that we've created these boundaries. The church has boundaries too. The early church, it had very, very specific boundaries. It was a Jewish faith. Jesus was a Jew. All his early followers were Jewish. And they saw themselves not as some new religion, but part of an old religion. They were just one sect among many within the Jewish faith. There were Pharisees and Sadducees and Essenes and Zealots, to name a few. And they called themselves the Way, what we call Christians today. They weren't called Christians then. That didn't come until many years later and came not out of Jerusalem, but out of Antioch. They called themselves the Way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So they knew themselves as the way, and they would gather in the temple, and they would teach the teachings of Jesus. And they would gather in the homes and have fellowship together, and meals together, communion together. And I suspect they had not really started to grasp in their minds what Jesus meant when he said to go out into the whole world and take the gospel with you, making disciples. For them, their Jewish world, the Jewish world would come to them in Jerusalem. Every good Jew would try to make it to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. And so all they needed to do was to be there and meet them when they come and share the gospel with them. But God had other plans. God had something very unexpected he wanted to do. And it started with the death of Stephen. He was a deacon. And he was stoned to death because of his Christian faith. And then persecution broke out, and it was being led by the man we call Paul, who we know later became a follower of Jesus and perhaps the greatest missionary ever. But in the beginning, he was going against these Jesus believers, these Jesus followers, and he persecuted them, and the church had to scatter. And God started doing some really unexpected things then. Started in Samaria. Those half-breeds, those people that the Jews hated, some of them came to follow Jesus. I think maybe the apostles could grasp that a little bit, because after all, Jesus had spent 3 days in a Samaritan village after he had met with the woman at the well. And then last week we told the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, the one that I suggested to you who was Jewish. His descendants were traced back to King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, who had made one of those journeys to Jerusalem, but he found out that eunuchs weren't welcome there. He probably received a very rude and awful treatment when he tried to go to the temple. And now he's heading back, and the Holy Spirit directed Philip, a deacon, to intersect with him on this deserted highway. And Philip shares the gospel with this eunuch, and they come to some water, and the eunuch says, there's some water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And I suggested to you last week that the real question was, am I welcome among you followers of Jesus? Do you receive eunuchs like me? God doing the unexpected. And we see that in this week's lesson that Jaylen read. She gave you some of the context of it. And God is trying to prepare what's going to happen next. He's working behind the scenes, getting people ready to expect the unexpected. Peter is up on the rooftop praying, and he keeps having the same vision three times of take and eat this non-kosher food. And he says, no, I don't eat non-kosher food. I don't eat unclean food. And the voice says, don't call something unclean that God has called clean. And that doesn't make sense to Peter, because all his life he has considered non-kosher food to be unclean. Meanwhile, God was working at Cornelius, a Gentile, and not only a Gentile, but a Roman soldier. And the Holy Spirit says to him, send some people out to fetch Peter and invite him to your home. And Cornelius sends these men out, and they arrive at the place where Peter's staying. About the time that Peter's third vision is going on, and he's trying to make sense of all of this, and then the Spirit says to him, go with these men. And it was about a day's journey, so they went the next day, and I think Peter's, he is starting to fall together for him. It's starting to add up. Non-kosher food, I consider unclean. Gentiles, I consider unclean. And God is saying, don't call unclean what I call clean. Maybe God's preparing me for something. He gets to the house of Cornelius. He begins to tell them about Jesus. And as we read, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they began to speak in tongues, just like Peter and the other people that had been in that upper room on Pentecost Sunday. The same Spirit, the same speaking in tongues. And now it was fully together for Peter what was going on. That Gentiles were also to be welcomed into the family. The family of Jesus. God working in unexpected ways. In fact, that's the title of the sermon. Because we need to expect God to work in our midst. We need to expect that God's going to work, though, in the unexpected ways, things that we might not be prepared for. That's certainly what happened in the early church. They had an idea of what their inner circle was, but the Holy Spirit kept making it larger and larger and larger until the lines of the circle were no longer visible. Anyone who wanted to follow Jesus were welcomed. We need to be expecting the unexpected. Our church is about to go through some big changes. And I believe that it's going to be in the midst of these changes that God is going to do new things. We know that at the end of the month, Rick will be leaving us, headed to another church, begin a new ministry there. And that's going to change our music ministry here, one that's very important to us. And I can't tell you how that's going to change, because I don't know. I don't expect there's going to be this huge, big change. I don't think we're going to run out and hire a praise band and turn the service into contemporary service. But a new person coming in brings in their own ideas and their own way of doing things. And so that means change. But we need to remember that God is in control. And God, I hope, will be doing the unexpected. So let us expect that. Also, during the middle of next month, I'm going to take off for 14 weeks for a sabbatical. I won't be here. I won't be preaching. I'm going to be trying to get renewed and refreshed and re-energized and searching for how God wants to use me to lead this church. I pray that God will do the unexpected, not only in me, but in you. I pray that while I'm gone, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you and leading you and guiding you into new things, the unexpected. You're going to have numerous guest preachers come in, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will say a word to you through them. Bishop Joel's here with us today. He will be doing one of those messages. And I pray for him. I hope you pray for him. That the Holy Spirit will lead him what to say, where we need to go, what needs to be happening. And then in the fall, when I come back, let us pray for the unexpected, that God will do something new, something exciting in our midst. You might recall that we just received a gift from our presbytery, an unexpected gift of $5,000 to do something bold and contextual and collaborative. I have no idea what we'll use that for right now. I don't think anybody else does either. But we need to be listening for God's voice, for what God will say and lead us to do, to expect the unexpected, and to see something new and exciting, something bold and re-energizing and transformative. Let me close by bringing us to the gospel message. We are branches attached to the vine. And that vine is Jesus, and that vine is the one that provides the nourishment and the nutrients and all that we need to produce fruit. And we're told that God loves us. And God has called us to be his own. And because of this, because we are loved, because we are called, there comes responsibility. Jesus says we are to abide in the vine. And the way that we abide in the vine is to follow God's commandments. And the commandment that we need to follow is that we love one another. And he talks about loving his friends. And that Jesus was willing to lay down his life for his friends. And we are to share that type of love with one another. A self-sacrificing love, a love that goes the second mile in caring for people. A love that builds and develops relationships with those that might feel left out. A love that is inviting people in, that breaks down those barriers that separate us. So I pray that we love one another. Both while I'm here, also while I'm gone, and when I get back. I want us to take a moment for silent prayer. I don't know how God might be speaking to you this morning, but take time and talk with God. What is God saying to you? What might God be calling you to do at this time of change? We don't like the change, but it's coming. But God is at work, and God is in control, and we'll get through it just fine. So pray how God leads you. In a moment, I'll say amen. We'll sing our next hymn, and we'll continue our worship. Amen.